Hello everyone, I'm Tom Dorsey.
Jay Gragnani.
And Tommy Doyle.
It is April 9th, 2018, and guess what? This is the coldest month since 1982.
This month so far, since 1982, April of 82.
And that goes along with your long-term theme of it being a cold winter.
Yeah, I mean, I hit it right on the nose, didn't I?
100-year cycle.
Did I hit it on the nose or what?
You did. You did. Those heating oil contracts paid off well.
I'm telling you. 100-year cycle.
Yeah. So April... spring officially began last month at some point. Yeah.
Well, it officially began.
For many people, this past weekend with the Masters happening was the unofficial start of spring. And this morning, Monday morning, woke up and it was snowing.
Snowing, yeah.
In Richmond. I don't know what's going on.
Winter is not over. No. Here's what's going to happen this year. I'll tell you point blank. You're going to stay in winter until spring actually comes. But you're going to miss spring, you're going into summer.
Oh, yeah.
We're jumping right in from winter to summer.
Oh, man.
So we're not going to have that 70-degree day. No. It's going to be 20 and then jump to 95.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's your play.
There you are. Well, it is going to hit 80 degrees here this week.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. Supposedly. We'll see, unless that changes.
Might snow.
So today's report, as I go through, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's kind of the temperatures being all over the place has kind of been... typical to what the market's been doing recently. You've seen a lot of volatile swings in the market, you know, swings that have come. Last week was I wouldn't call it typical, but, you know, typical to what we've kind of been experiencing here recently of the markets moving. I think it was last Thursday, the market's down big and it closed up. Friday, market's down. Wake up this morning, futures are up almost 200 points. At the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of noise out there in the markets. And when, you know, we're certainly hear from clients and get phone calls from folks about gaining some perspective on the markets and just kind of looking at the markets. We've done a lot and written in the report. About the volatility, you know, 2017 was an extremely low volatility year. You come into this year, and the past couple months have been a pretty high in terms of volatility. And so maintaining that perspective in the market, and we try to do that for you through these videos, through the Daily Equity Report. But at the end of the day, when you look at what's going on in the market, the S&P 500, that chart remains in a positive trend, actually moved back to a near-term buy signal and has reversed back up today to produce a higher bottom. And so that's, you know, when you cut out all the noise and you look at what's going on in the market today, specifically as it relates to the S&P 500, that's kind of where we're looking at. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on underneath the surface that we'll talk about, but just kind of a little bit of perspective to start the week off.
Today, you can get a lot of information from the report. Tommy, you have a lot to do with writing the report. And it's the kind of thing that where you're looking for something to talk to customers about, this is the report today. Because it's got so many interesting things that have happened over the last quarter. One of the things that you notice is the small cap issues are coming on strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that reminds me of back to October of 2000, when all of a sudden we had a switch from large cap to small cap. It seems like that's happening now. And if you look on a long-term basis, and you look at the SML, which is the S&P small cap stocks, which are billion-dollar companies, but still they're considered small cap SML, still outperforms from the year 2000. If you take a long term perspective, look at the returns you could get in the SML versus the SPX. Plain and simple. Massive outperformance. We're still seeing it. And look at today's report and you'll see it. The DWAS, interesting enough, is up on the quarter. Strong company. I mean, strong companies in it. What we just did while we were talking here, Tommy, is you took the DWAS number ones that are added to it each quarter.
Right.
We have a change,
mm-hmm.
and we went to ones that were added, and we said, why wouldn't we do this? If I was back in production, why not jump ahead of it a little bit? I want to own DWAS. It's done extremely well. It's up for the quarter, up for the year. Why don't I take the ones that are added, put it into a portfolio, and run a matrix, and buy the top five of the stocks that were added?
Yeah, so that was an interesting point. We saw over 80 stocks be added to that product. So I just threw them into a portfolio on the system, converted that portfolio to a matrix, let the summaries run, and then scrolled through some of the thumbnail charts. So that's showing me all the point and figure charts on one page. And a couple of those names that were floated up to the top, meaning that they are stronger on a relative basis compared to the ones at the bottoms of just the additions. Three names in particular stuck out to me. APEI,
mm-hmm.
Tusk, and SFLY. So that's kind of different areas in the market, but those three charts stood out to me when I was scrolling through. They kind of jumped off the page a little
bit. SFLY, did you say?
SFLY, Shutterfly.
Okay.
So one is a business products, one is oil, and one Shutterfly is, you know, could be internet related, online pictures.
Yeah, I mean, this is how you find interesting stocks.
Yeah.
How did you take those names? Now, the way I would do it is I would block the name somehow, put it into a portfolio, and then run a matrix from the portfolio. How did you do that? Tell the people that are watching how simply you can do that.
I took the list of tickers that were added in an Excel document, and I.
How
just,
did you take these? I took them. How did you take them?
We
did
get
you block them. Control C, Control V.
Control C, Control V.
Okay.
So you highlight all the tickers.
Highlight the tickers first thing.
Then you copy them.
Copy.
Then you go to the Dorsey Wright platform, open a portfolio, and create one. You paste them into the tickers to add. You save that portfolio. Then you go to Portfolio Actions. Once that's saved in the top right. And you come down, you click Convert to Matrix.
Beautiful.
There it is.
And then you can look at those in a thumbnail aspect, right. So you can bang through them quickly,
yep.
And see the charts. That most of that's what I use extensively now. I have so many portfolios that I'll block whatever I want to look at,
mm-hmm.
Put it into the portfolio. What you should do is go to our model page. And every one of the stock sectors, like healthcare, semiconductors, whatever, you go to the bottom page of where you see for that portfolio, all the stocks that are added to it.
Mm-hmm.
It says add to a portfolio. You just type it in, click it, it's in the portfolio.
That's right.
Then from there, you can do all kinds of things with it.
Yeah, and so going through those thumbnails kind of helps you get above some of those lower price names that some people may not be able to do, less than $10, and kind of reveal some of these charts like a Tusk. You know, that's Mammoth Energy Services. It's an oil name.
The TUSK?
TUSK. It's got all five attributes. The chart is very orderly. It's kind of an outlier when you think of the broad energy, the broad oil space.
I've never heard of the company. Look at that.
Never heard of it, but, you know, chart looks great. You've got
looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot. I mean, a lot of obviously small cap stuff looking good. On the other side of that, there's a lot of big, well known names that continue to do well. And with the recent volatility in the market, what that has done with a lot of individual stocks is created opportunities, created some back and forth action on the charts, and in some cases, that has built up some support on individual charts. In other cases, it's actually developed specific patterns that we follow. One that we look at quite closely that in this type of market is one that we do see tend to develop quite a bit is the shakeout pattern. And that's one that you look at a chart, and one of the bigger names out there, Adobe, certainly a well-known, recognized name, is one that came to our attention that we came across as a stock that had given an initial sell signal to start the shakeout, had reversed up into X's to hit the action point in the shakeout pattern. But there's actually a number of stocks out there that look very similar to that. And if you go up on your website, you go to Tools, and you just go to Pattern Reports, you can pull a list of all the stocks that are currently working on shakeout patterns as we speak. And Adobe is certainly one of those. A couple of the names that look pretty interesting. First Solar is one that hasn't really come up a whole lot. Is not
that's
one
a name that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, but it's kind of flown under the radar, if you will, but the chart is in a positive trend, looks good. It hit its action point at 71 on the reversal, and so that's one to certainly look at here. As you're looking for opportunities, looking for areas to put money to work, or just looking for new ideas, looking at those pattern reports can be one place to gain some of those ideas.
Yeah. One of the stocks you brought to my attention while we were sitting here talking before we started was Walmart. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, Walmart
could be an interesting covered right too. I'm trying to ferret that out right now.
So I'll step back for a second. What I was looking at is the implied momentum curve. So if you have the links of interest widget on your front page, you can turn on the implied momentum curve link. And what that's going to do is take the default page that pops up is the S&P 500 names, and it plots them on their particular zone 1 through 6 based on their implied momentum that dates back to the Jim Yates concept, the zone concept. And Walmart is one of those stocks, WMT, that was in zone 1, so skewed to the left-hand side of that curve, and was highlighted in green, which means that that weekly momentum or that implied momentum had turned positive for Walmart. And that's a stock that in 2017 was up there right with amongst the best performing stocks out there in 2017, and has had struggled mightily so far in 2018, whether it be the Amazon effect or whatever the reasons be. This stock has fallen right back down to its trend line at $85, has initially held, has reversed up, and that's one to watch. You can set an alert on that. $90 would get it back to an initial buy signal. $91 would clear another hurdle of resistance there. But Walmart is a stock to watch. It's a four attribute name, so still a strong attribute stock, has pulled right back to support in its trend line and is on the verge of a potential breakout at $90, $91.
What kind of yield do you see in there in Walmart?
2.4% is the yield on that.
2.4%.
Yeah.
You could increase that. You know, let's say you want to make that a dividend kind of stock, a monthly pay stock. At 87.375, you could go to a 48 day, May 25th, 87 strike price, and take in about $3.30. And if you add that to the dividend, you got a great rate of return. Or even take it even a step further and go up to the 88.50 or 89, you still get $2. So, I mean, you could do the covered right with this too, which would be something I do more often in my portfolios. I'm a big covered writer. I feel more comfortable risking or reducing the risk in my positions by selling calls.
Yeah. That's a great way right now. I mean, to certainly with volatility high, option premium is going to be expanded just naturally as a result of that, and as the uncertainty around interest rates continues to loom, it's a great way to increase the income in your portfolio by, you know, selling the calls against existing positions out there and having a covered right program. So we've discussed, you know, covered rights at least every day. We have one covered right idea that we put in the daily equity report along with a call and a put, and we'll be talking here over the course of this week about how to position it, how to use it, you know, putting together a covered right portfolio that might make sense for your client. So keep an eye out for that through the daily equity report.
You know, one of the things that I do too is, and I use this extensively, is the portfolio system. Take whatever group of stocks that you want to take and show your customer how this works. Portfolio system is so powerful. Put that into the portfolio system and you can click options or covered right.
Yeah.
And it will go into the system and it will take the ones that are acceptable for covered rights and show you the returns. So whatever you want to do, put it into a portfolio, you can look at the covered rights.
Yeah.
And there's where you get a lot of ideas. That's where I get a lot of ideas myself.
Yeah.
Right through that portfolio system. Then you've got the thumbnail charts where you can look at the charts very quickly, blast right through them. Then you've got the ability to, from the portfolio system, to put them into a matrix.
Yeah.
Select the top five. I mean, that portfolio system itself is worth the money of the product.
Yeah.
So plain and simple.
Yeah. So to get to that, you know, TD mentioned the covered calls. When you're in the portfolios, we've kind of changed the layout that you may be familiar with. It's up at the top underneath the title on the left-hand side. There are some navigational links, and covered call is one of the sections in there. And if one of those things meet the criteria that we run for the daily option ideas, those names will populate in a list below.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at this covered right that I did last week. And this is not for everyone, believe me. But what do you see here? 1,000 shares of Tesla.
Yeah.
And I sold 10 in the money calls, 220s. So Tesla was, at that point, 20 points less. But the calls that I sold were probably 20, 30 points in the money. They yielded me an $8,000 profit if Tesla just stayed above 220. The stock is currently trading at 303. So if it just stays above 220, my covered right is finished. And that's on April 20th.
It's a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks, the stock didn't need to do anything. It could have gone down 20 or 30 points and I still win.
Yep.
So you can think about these kinds of things when you're looking at a stock that's as volatile as Tesla, selling deep in the money calls for the right customer.
Mm-hmm.
This is not for everybody.
Yeah.
And stocks like Tesla, you probably need that deep in the money, you know, by the time it's all over. But those are some of the things that I do.
Yeah. And that mentioned, that brings up a point that you were talking about earlier when we started the video, was sell to your sleeping level, right?
Yeah, that's important. That's very important, because we talked about that as far as, you know, you can look at covered writing, you can look at positions. We had Google that we were looking at that you really needed to increase to a 10-point box. Mm-hmm. Google's default chart is just too wild. You can't use it. So when you want to smooth the chart out so that you can see it clearly, you have to increase the box size. I remember back in 2000, when Yahoo was at $700 per share, you had to increase that box size to $10 per box, mm-hmm, to slow the chart down enough to give you a clear picture. The problem was the stop. You had about a 60-point, to the first double bottom, you had about a 60-point potential loss. Same thing with Google here. What's your Google down to your stop?
It's 30 points off.
30 point. How many customers can take 30 points? I don't care what percentage it is. Customers think in terms of dollars, amounts. They don't think in terms, nobody thinks in terms of percentages but us. Mm. Customer looks at dollars. And 30 point drop to your stop is too much for most customers to take. So if that's the case, and the customer's calling us and say, wow, Google's down 10 bucks. Now what? Now it's down 15. Oh Lord, it's down 20. He's not at his sleeping level. Mm-hmm. So you always want with customers to sell down to your sleeping level. That's the point he's not going to call you. So when you're at your sleeping level, that's where you're not over leveraged. The kiss of death in investing is being over leveraged. When you buy 1,000 shares of a stock at 300, mm-hmm, and you can't handle that.
Yeah, because that $10 move down, that translates into real dollars.
Real dollars.
Yeah, the account.
So, real dollars.
So by that you mean it's different for everybody.
It's different for everyone, but that sleeping level is the right way to think about it.
Right.
At what point does your customer not lose sleep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Got it?
Well,
got it.
Everybody got
it? I think that's some good advice to.
That's the kind of thing you learn when you're in the trenches and you're dealing with customers, and you have all the types of people who want the leverage. They want to be aggressive while the market's going up.
Mm-hmm.
When the market's going down, they want to be conservative.
Right.
And they come in at neutral. They come in at moderate.
Yeah.
So when we do the modern portfolio theory and everybody comes in at moderate, they aren't moderate when the market starts going down. Then they're conservative. That's real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real life.
Yeah. Psychological aspect.
Absolutely. All right. So you guys learned something today.
We did.
Okay.
Write it down.
That's the idea. See y'all next week.